for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning service, July the 3rd, 1988. Tape number 2. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds at Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Linda Sutter is the teacher of the morning.
Privileged this morning for me and for all of you to have our daughter, Linda, come and minister this morning. Linda Sutter from up in Wisconsin at the present time. I don't know where she's going to live when she comes back from China and Russia, but at the present time, that's her home. She's going to minister this morning. She has a very serious message on her heart for every one of us, for the hour that we live in today.
Lord, we thank you this morning that your ways are higher than our ways.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that you have a purpose for every one of us.
Yes, Father.
Thank you, Lord, that your will is going to be manifest. Your ways are going to be manifest.
Yes, Lord.
On the earth. And that, Father, you have all things planned out. You have a purpose.
Yes.
For your creation, for those that you've called to yourself.
Yes, Lord.
We pray this morning, Lord, that our hearts would be open to receive from you, that, Lord, we would hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, that, Lord, that we cast down everything in our midst, in our minds, Lord, that is not of you this morning. We take authority over every vain thought, every vain imagination,
yes, Lord.
And we call forth the Spirit of God and the gift of God in every heart here today. And Lord, I pray again, I declare that we will hear what the Spirit is saying.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Let's turn to Psalm 19. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
Good to be with God's people. I've got a couple of things to share with you this morning. I'm going to share with you a vision that God gave me earlier this week. I was in another meeting, another city. Came into a worship service all excited about just praising the Lord. I love to praise the Lord. I love to worship the Lord. I love to sing. And that's fun to do. And I wasn't expecting anything other than just to come in and have a good time and get into the Spirit and sing in the Spirit a little bit in the songs of Zion. And I wasn't leading the singing. I was a participant. But the Lord began speaking to my heart in a vision. I'm going to share the vision before the service is over this morning with you. I believe I'm supposed to. Prior to that time, since last camp meeting, I've been at home on my face before the Lord about a number of things, thinking about the trip that's coming up the middle of September when I and four others are going to be going to Eastern Europe and to Russia. And like Sister Mary said this morning, I believe that this particular trip is what God's been preparing me for my entire life. There may be some others down the road. In fact, I kind of think that there are. But I am very aware of the fact that everything up to this point has been a preparation. You know, when John the Baptist was preaching before Jesus came on the scene publicly, the Lord spoke to my heart one day that his whole life up to that point had been a preparation for that time when he would say, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." All those years had been invested in John for him to make that declaration to the world that, "Behold the Lamb of God has come." And, you know, what God may have purpose for you may not take a whole lot of time as far as your whole life is concerned. There may be something He's called you to do that might be fulfilled in 2 weeks or 6 months. And everything up to that point has been invested in that. You know, a while back I was reading an article in Reader's Digest about a man, maybe you read it, who was a spy for the Russians. And he was a Chinese man, and all kinds of money, thousands of dollars, was invested in his training. and years of training, they were investing in him because they saw something in him that he wanted. And it wasn't really going to come to fulfillment till about 1997. We haven't even come to 1997 yet. When Hong Kong would be turned back to the Chinese. Did any of you read that article? When it would be turned back that he would be a spy for the Russians there in Hong Kong. Well, things got all screwed up along the way, and he's living in the United States right now, a free person. But they had invested all that time, all that training, years and years and years of training, thousands of dollars for that time that's yet to come. And I thought, if nations do that, how much more God does that for us? Puts all the time and effort into us for a place that we are going to occupy in this realm, in this place. It's exciting, isn't it? Have something for each one of us to do. Well, that's not necessarily my theme this morning. That just came to mind. I wanted to share it with you. But I've been home waiting on the Lord and had been so blessed because of the prophecy that had come when Brother Pemberton had a word of prophecy at the last camp meeting. And he had essentially said that things that had happened up to this point had been a preparation for things that were to come. But when God began, as God had been dealing with me at home in the last month and a half, last month, and then in the vision that he spoke to me this week, in the other meetings that I were at, God really began shaking me up on the inside, showing me.
Brother Honeycutt, are you in the audience? Will you go to the phone, please?
Showing me that we can't just dance and sing and praise the Lord, that there's far more that God is wanting to do through us and in us right now than just to have a good time when we get
Amen.
Together.
Amen.
And those of you that know me well know how much I like to do those things and how much I like to laugh and have a good time. But God began showing me the judgment that is coming, has already come, but we're going to see far more than what we've seen, that is coming, first of all, on the people of God and on our nation as a whole and on the whole world. And as I was at home, and I'm going to say more about it than that, but as I was at home, he began showing to me the purpose of the law of God. We're going to talk about that this morning, about his laws and his judgment. Last night when the service began, you know, if we will have our ear open to what the Spirit is saying, we will begin to see something begin to develop in the very first service when we have a convention like this. And as we had been worshiping the Lord last night, a couple of prophecies came forth. And the first one spoke about the judgment of God. And I got real excited about that. I thought, Lord, I believe I'm hearing the right thing. And it talked about how judgment is coming and is coming on God's people. Then another word came after that about along the same line, and I believe it also mentioned something about the fire. How many of you know fire is a purifying agent?
Yes.
We get put to the fire. When the fire comes on us, it's for one purpose and one purpose alone. It's to purify us and to cleanse us of all the impurities. We are going to come forth if we will submit to the hand of God, the dealings of God, as fine gold purified in the fire.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And you know when gold gets put to the fire, and we don't always do this, you know, but when gold gets put to the fire, what happens? You know, it just submits. You know, it just, as the fire gets hotter and hotter, you know, it just sits there and it begins to submit and it begins to melt and it begins to flow and go with the flame. And all the impurities just, you know, filter out. We get put to the fire, what do? We fight, we howl, we scream, we carry on, we kick up a fuss, and we just prolong the whole process. And, you know, we also say, you know, I believe God's trying to tell me something. Listen, I want to tell you something. God doesn't try to do anything. He can speak the world into existence with a flick of his eyelash. He can say to us anything he wants. He doesn't have to try. He's just waiting on us.
Right.
We kick and fuss and holler and scream and carry on, sometimes for years. And he just keeps waiting on us. But I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, I don't think he's going to be able to wait on us much longer. We are either going to be in what God is doing or we're going to be on the outside.
Amen.
God began speaking to me about the law of God, and he began showing me that the law of God... Now, we know the history of the law, most of us do, that was given to Moses to give to Israel, was given for their benefit. Now, I want you to read a verse in Psalm 19. I'm going to read several verses, but we're going to just concentrate on one phrase. I'm reading it in the New International Version. I really like it better in the King James. I'd like to borrow somebody's King James Bible. Okay. Starting at verse 7. We used to sing this song, maybe some of you know it, about 20 years ago. We'd sing this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments, now listen to this, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. We've seen a little bit of the judgments of God on the church recently, and it's maybe kind of hard to think that they are righteous altogether when you see all the things that happen, that the judgments of God are true, they're righteous. It's bringing forth, his judgments are bringing forth righteousness in the house of God. Now, all of these things, the law, the statutes, the fear, all of these things, more to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his heirs? We begin to understand as we have the Spirit of the Lord applied to our life. Who can understand his error? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin.
Yes.
Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Now what I want to concentrate on for a little bit is the very first phrase of these scriptures that we read, the law of the Lord is perfect. God's never done anything second class, has he? Praise the Lord for that. We may not want to, and we may lag back and not move into his full purposes, but he's prepared a perfect place for us to walk in. Ultimately, he's prepared for us a perfect place to dwell, in the heavenly realms. And we know that he prepared a perfect sacrifice before the foundation of the earth was ever formed. And the law of God, now, we in America have a hard time with this, because we've grown up in a culture that talks about freedom. And we have heard freedom from the time we were old enough to listen and to hear. We know that we are in a country that where we've had in the past freedom, and freedom is what we want. We want to be free. That, and we talk that, we've lived in that. So for us to talk about and think about coming under a certain kind of laws of God, we have a hard time with that. And when somebody starts preaching it, we get all up in arms and we say, oh, that's the Old Testament. But the scripture tells us that law was perfect. Now, granted, it is incomplete in one sense, because the law, as in the way that it was, that it was given, the scripture says the blood of bulls and goats could never cleanse us from sin. We know there's only one sacrifice that will ever cleanse you and me from sin, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. But the law the Scripture tells us, was a schoolmaster.
Yes.
To bring us to Christ. By the law of God, we could begin to see just what wretches we are, have been. And you know, the law is not impossible to keep. Now, we've said that. Oh, it's impossible for us. It's not impossible. God didn't put something on Israel that was impossible for them to do. I want you to look over in 2 Kings for a second. The prophets came along to Israel, prophesied to them, spoke to them, that because you have transgressed, this and this and this is going to happen. It says they worshiped the Lord in 2 Kings 17, talking about how they followed worthless idols and became worthless, how they sacrificed their sons and their daughters in the fire. They practiced divination and sorcery and sold themselves to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking Him to anger. It says how they worshiped the Lord, but they also appointed their own people to officiate for them as priests in the shrines and the high places, meaning that as they served the Lord, they began to take on them all the ways of the pagans that dwelt among them. And it says later on in chapter 17 that the Lord, starting at verse 35, when the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites, He commanded them, do not worship any other gods or bow down to them. Now, it's possible to do that, isn't it? Don't bow down to them, serve them, or sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt with mighty power and outstretched arm is the one you must worship. To Him you shall bow down. Now, it's possible to do that. To Him you shall bow down and to Him offer sacrifices. You must always be careful to keep the decrees and the ordinances, the laws and the commands He wrote to you. It's possible to do that. Do not worship other gods. Do not forget the covenant I have made with you. And do not worship other gods. Rather worship the Lord your God. It is He who will deliver you from the hand of all of your enemies. They would not listen, however, but persisted in their former practices. How many of you, you know, who have children? You know, in exasperation, sometimes you've said, all I'm asking is for you to do thus and thus. All you kids have heard that, haven't you? Your folks have said, is that too much to ask for you to do this? The rest of you have said it, and you probably heard it when you were kids. And that's how God dealt with Israel. He says, all I'm asking is for you to do this. And over in Exodus, He said, if you will be faithful and you will keep my commands, none of the plagues, none of the diseases that came on the Egyptians will be yours. And we see that the law of God was given for our benefit in every respect. We wanted to make a big deal on this morning and really go down through it and have the time to do it. We can find out why He told us to eat a certain way. Why He told us to dress a certain way. Why He told us to do all these things. Because it has its counterpart in the Spirit. I may end up saying some things this morning. I wasn't planning on it. And 6 months ago, I would have never said it. A month ago, I might not have said it. But we have so, as God's people, deviated from the plan that He's created for and the norm that He created for us to walk in. Even though it's 1988, these things just absolutely seem crazy to us. And the law was given, you know, as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, but it was given as a preventative to keep us from getting involved in all kinds of things that we shouldn't be involved in.
Amen.
You know, I remember some months ago, it's been quite a while ago now, several years ago actually, and I was reading the scripture one morning, and I was reading this portion in Psalm 19, where it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, and I was going down through that whole portion, and you know, David says how he'd meditate upon the law of God as he'd laid on his bed at night. When he'd rise up early in the morning, the law would be in his mind, and he'd think on it and how wonderful that law was. And I was sitting there and I was thinking about it. And I'm not trying to be funny here this morning at all. But I just flipped over to Leviticus to the law of God. And I'll tell you, I began reading things that I had never dreamed about doing. And I mean about things that God's people aren't supposed to do. And I thought, and David talked about those things and said, oh, the law of God is wonderful. And here were all these rules and regulations that I'd never given any thought to. But we see that God gave them to His people for a distinct purpose of preserving them in the earth. And as we move on in God and move into that which He's calling us to walk in today, we're going to see more and more that there is, and I believe it, as we go forward in God, with maybe we won't even be acknowledging it or even thinking about it too much, but those precepts that He laid down for Israel to walk in, we're going to find them beginning to be part of our life.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, I'm thankful for the authority that there is in Christ Jesus. But I'll tell you what, a lot of us haven't exercised much authority. A lot of us have been stripped of our authority because our lives have not measured up to the standard that God has for us to walk in.
Right.
And there's not much authority, I'll tell you, when you know that in all other kinds of ways, things aren't going good. Right?
Right.
When we haven't submitted ourselves to the purposes of God, the law of God. You know, there's a scripture in Isaiah. And we sing these songs. And have enjoyed singing them. And there's one we sing about how that there shall be called a highway of holiness.
Yes.
And oh, how God has prepared it and He's calling us to begin to walk that highway of holiness. And then there's something else it says about that highway of holiness. It says, the unclean aren't going to pass over on it. If you want to walk on it, we've got to submit to the purposes of God, to that dealing that He's doing in our lives right now today. Another scripture, Isaiah, you know, he said, after one portion of scripture, he begins to move into a different vein, and he says, comfort ye my people. But before that period, in the earlier chapters, he really lays it on the people about where they have erred, where they have gone wrong. And I've always wanted to concentrate on the comfort ye. I've always wanted to concentrate on the fact that God is not going to forsake His people. And I haven't wanted to dwell on the other aspects of it. But you know, we've got to make provision, and we've got to declare both sides of it.
Amen.
If we're going to be faithful to the Lord, it's got to be both. And Isaiah at one point he says, these people draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I've been thinking about that a lot as we get up, begin to worship the Lord and sing all these beautiful songs. And it's so easy, especially to come into a convention where there's several hundred people and everybody else is worshiping, and we begin to worship and we begin to feel the spirit of the music and rock back and forth and dance or clap our hands and enjoy it and think that everything and begin to feel a bit lifted in our spirit. But if we don't let the Spirit of God begin to affect change in us, all that singing, all that acknowledging is going to be in vain.
That's right.
I want to be a hundredfolder this morning. I want to move into absolutely everything that the Lord has for us. I want to dwell in His tabernacle. You know, some years ago, it's quite a few years ago now, and I'm sure all of us this has happened to in one way or another at one time in our lives. And I was a much younger Christian then, and there were ministries that I had seen who had moved in a dimension of God that I hadn't even hoped of moving into. Visitations of angels, communication in the spirit realm and experiences with God that boggled my mind. Being caught up into third heavens, I guess. And I'd heard about, and I knew people like this, and then I saw their lives absolutely decimated. And then began to show aside, and I knew that unless in God's mercy, they'd come to God in mercy, they'd never make it. And I remember in one situation where the Spirit of the Lord came on a brother who was preaching and such resurrection life, and then went out and was completely 100% the opposite of what had happened in that meeting. I was a young Christian, and you know, at that time in my life, I was laboring with all the things like many young Christians do and young people, and wanting to get rid of the sins of the flesh and all that. And I said, Lord, if this one hasn't made it, how am I ever going to make it in? How am I ever going to be a part? And the Lord drew my attention to Psalm 15, where David says, Lord, who's going to dwell in your tabernacle? Who's going to dwell in your holy hill or abide in the tabernacle? But him that doeth the truth in his heart. He doesn't make it hard for us, brothers and sisters. He makes it very simple. He just wants us to walk in that truth that he's given to us. And it is not impossible to do. Praise the Lord. Now the thing that God is speaking, I mentioned earlier, is that judgment has come to the people of God. We're going to see it more. It's coming more to his people. It's coming all over the earth. Now we get up and we sing. I was looking at it this morning. While we were singing in Joel chapter 2, talking about the army of the Lord. And we like to sing about the army. We like to declare that we're part of the army. And we get all excited that we're going to march forward and that God's going to do exploits through us and on his servants and his handmaids and his spirits being outpoured. And about being a part of this day of the Lord. But I'll tell you something. It's a day of dawning as the mighty army comes. But for those who aren't in that, it's a day of clouds and thick darkness. And if we submit to the purposes of God, it's going to be a time of great visitation, of him using you, his purposes being accomplished. But if we don't submit to the dealing of the Lord, it's going to be a day of clouds and thick darkness.
Amen.
A day of gloom, a day of blackness. You know, Brother Tommy Cook got up several months back in one of the services, and he said how the Lord had spoken to him that day or the previous day about gloom and doom and destruction, something like that. Like I said, I don't like to think in those terms, but since that time, God has really spoken to me too. Mm-hmm. That is, it's a time of judgment and destruction. We're right at the door of it. At the very threshold of it. A day of dawning for the people of God. But a day of destruction for those who will not enter in. When God was calling his people out of captivity, bringing them back from the places where he had sent them into exile. And as they came back and gathered, and the scribes stood up to read the law of God. They were all gathered together. It was a very emotional time for them. And the priests and the Levites were there reading to read the law. And all these thousands of people were gathered there as one person listening. And it says as the law of God began to be read, they began to understand the law. And they began to weep. And began to weep, and they wept and wept as the law was read, because the understanding had been given to them. And I believe that in God we're at that place right now where understanding is beginning to come to God's people concerning the things of the Spirit and the law of God, because they go right together. And I tell you what, I've been weeping. And I thought, my goodness, how could I have been so blind? How could I have been so blind as not to see that this is what your purposes are for us? He's called us to be a holy nation. Amen?
Amen.
A peculiar people.
Amen.
A kingdom of priests.
Amen.
Every last one of us are called to that.
Yes.
You're here this morning. I trust it's because there's that desire in your heart to be something for the Lord. Maybe you've come to this camp meeting because you've got some unbelievable personal problems. I'll tell you, you can't come to a better place to get release from those problems you've had. But God is speaking to us and calling us to return to Him, to begin to let that fire be applied to our life, and He's calling us to return to holiness. Now, I said a minute ago that in our country, it is hard for us to think in terms of anything except freedom. Our Constitution is based on freedom. We are all given the right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. The people, when they came and here, it was that they might have religious freedom. We're free to believe anything we want to believe. We're free to go where we want to go within this nation. We're free to eat what we want. We're free to wear what we want. We can believe anything we want. And really, I don't want it any other way than that. But unfortunately, what has happened is that our freedom has become an occasion for the flesh. And we don't handle freedom very well, even God's people. We don't handle freedom well. You know, I was in some meetings. I was talking to a man this week who came here from Latvia. And I was asking him a little, I think it was Latvia. I'm pretty sure it was. He's been here in this country for quite a number of years now. But he was telling me that right now, if you are in Latvia, if you want to go from one town to another, you have to register with the authorities before you even go into that town. You have to tell them what house you're going to. And then you have to let them know when you leave. They want to know where you are every moment. And we just don't, we can hardly comprehend something like that. Can we? They want to know. They have to know every moment where every one of them are. And so when we start talking about keeping the law of God, we just kick up a fuss and say, well, I am under grace. But you know, the scripture tells us if we walk in the Spirit, you know, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're really walking in God, and in that which is His will for us, and our eyes are on Him, these other things are going to begin to line up. And if they don't, there's something wrong somewhere. And we can begin to look at these things, and if we ask God to enlighten us, He'll begin to show us. You know, there's things that we don't do, or certain things are going to happen, right?
Right.
When you say to your child, to your children, we know that if we don't dress a certain way when we go outside in cold weather, we're going to get sick. Right? We know, and I'm old enough now to know that if I do a certain thing, I'm going to feel or see the repercussions of it. When you're young, when you're young people, you know, you live for the day. You can't see down the road very far. You want everything right now. I always love to tell the story how I didn't think I'd live to see the day when I'd turn 16, when I'd get my driver's license. I didn't want to have to wait either. But I knew that I had to wait before I got it. And I knew I had to take driver's training before I got that driver's license. And on more than one occasion, my driver's training teacher was wondering if it was going to be such a good thing for me to get a driver's license. I remember when my dad was going to let me practice drive around town. We lived in a town of 400 people, and, you know, 400 people, a town that size, everybody knows your business. Amen. And he'd say I could go out in town and drive around and practice a little bit. Told me how fast I was supposed to go around corners and this sort of thing. And I figured if I was way over on the other side of town, Dad would never know if I took those corners at 30 instead of 15. And he'd know before lunch that I'd taken that corner. So I wouldn't get to drive for a week. That's a very, you know, earthy example. But if we do something, if we do a certain thing, we're going to suffer the repercussions if it's wrong.
Right.
I don't take corners at 30 anymore. I want you to know that. That's been many, many years ago. And we wonder why some of the things have happened in our nation, why certain things have happened in our lives, and it's been because we have transgressed the law of God. Now I'm going to say something that blew my mind. Maybe it won't yours. But as I had been praying at home, and God just began showing me things that I had never seen before. And I was wondering, why is all of the sudden we just seeing an unleashing of all this filth and uncleanness on our nation? Like I've never seen before. And we've read, I mean, there's always been sin. There's always been problems, but I've never seen it or even read about it where it's as bad as it is right now all over our nation.
Amen.
Anytime you might turn the television on,
yeah.
I'm hearing things, my goodness, this has to be the end time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where evil is waxing worse and worse. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that there's more to that than evil waxing worse, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that as I share the vision with you that God gave to me. But I was saying, Lord, why is it all, it just seems like all of a sudden, almost overnight, really, all of this perversion and uncleanness is all around us. I began looking at the scripture and God showed, began speaking in my heart, and it says, because the people have transgressed my law. Took it several steps further than that. Began showing me that we had moved out of our rightful place. We began to let the ways of the pagans,
yes,
become the norm for us instead of the ways of God. And I was, as I was thinking on this, and I began to see that particularly since World War II, things had just really changed. And you don't see it happen, you know, within a year or 2 years or 3 years, but let a couple of generations develop and you begin to see the result of the sin of that generation. I mean, that's what we talk about here, isn't it? And I saw in particular, and I'm going to speak to us ladies right now, that part of the reason for the perversion that has swept over our country is because the ladies began to be like men. We began to change the way we dress and began to dress like men. And God showed me that as we began to do that more and more, that spirit of perversion was unleashed on our offspring. Now, we used to talk about Pentecostals being clothesline preachers. And I said, I'll never do that. I'll never say anything like that. I can't stand that sort of preaching. Tell you what, I'm going to start preaching that way. Going to start preaching that way because I saw in the Spirit what it means. Now, granted, some years back, when I used to hear this, there wasn't that reference made to what is going to happen if you do this and this and so and so. Couldn't see that. Just saw that, oh, people are fuddy-duddies. You know, when you're a young person, you think that you hear them preaching that and you think, oh, this is ridiculous. And I am free in Jesus. You know, there's a prayer group I go to up in Iowa. In fact, most of my ministry up until just the last year or so has been in the north, up in northern Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, northern Iowa, northern Michigan. If you go any further, you'll go off in Lake Superior up there in that cold country, and in northern Wisconsin. And just recently I've begun coming in this area and in the southern states. But there's a prayer group I go to in Iowa. This lady has had prayer meetings in her home for maybe 40 years. And I have gone to prayer meetings there for 25 years anyway. And you walk in the door of this house, and this it's a small prayer group, and it's been the same people for over 25 years. The same group. People don't leave. And it's not a lot of people, but the ones that are there have been faithful. I've never seen a group like it anywhere that I've ever been in the world. And they have been faithful to meet for prayer every Friday night and every other Tuesday, to pray for missionaries, to pray for people. People come in there, they get saved. Some newcomers come in and get saved and go back into other places. Politicians come through the doors for prayer. People from all over the world have come there for prayer. They've been very faithful to this. You walk through the door of the house, and you'll see a sign on the wall. And the sign says, a woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man. And I'd always kind of snicker at that. Well, these people know me pretty well by now. And, you know, when you're a minister and you go to different places, you submit to the law of the land in that place. And it's not necessarily out of conviction, but you just want to get along. At least I do. I don't want to make waves. Go in and sing a song and bless the people and you go on your way. And I used to say, well, I would say this, though, you know, privately, if you're going to have that sign on the wall on that side, you got to have another one over here on this side that says a man doesn't wear that which pertains to a woman. You know, because they're together. And, you know, I had forgotten that 25 years ago or so, 24 years ago, when I was in Bible school, I did some research on that subject and on that verse, and I had dismissed it as to what the reasoning was behind it, because at that time, when the law of God was given, there was very little difference between the way the men dressed and the way the women dressed. There was a border around the bottom of the garment of one and not the other. And I found through the research 24 years ago that the reason that this had been given was to discourage homosexuality. And it was a preventative. We transgress the law of God, it opens up, opens you up to be susceptible to certain kinds of behaviors, certain kinds of sins.
That's right.
Some years ago in Minneapolis, I was working with kids off the streets, drug addicts and this type, and long-haired hippies at that time, 1969, 1970. And these kids were coming in, getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and some friends of mine had a ranch outside of town where kids, when they wanted to come off drugs, they'd go out there to get rehabilitated. And so they, the first thing they would do when those kids came out there, they learned this. This wasn't something that they determined before they started, but they learned as they worked with these young people. First thing they did to the guys was cut their hair off. And it was hard on some of them. You knew how long they had been there by the size of their crew cut, just like these guys going to boot camp, you know. And they knew that that broke that spirit of rebellion in the boys. And the first thing they did to the girls when the girls came in is they made them take off their jeans and put on a dress, because it broke that spirit of rebellion in them. And they were able, they had far better success in dealing with the kids and getting them rehabilitated when they did those first two things. Not that every problem was taken care of immediately, but it did something and broke that spirit of rebellion in them. Now that's just one thing I'm mentioning. This is something God's been speaking to me about. That we as His people have got to return and begin to look like the people of God.
Amen.
Women and men both.
Amen.
And it's not just that if we just outwardly submit to something, that's not it. That's not going to do anything. But we let the spirit of that get a hold of us, grab hold of us, it will begin to effect change, because we see immediately, we don't see the repercussions of it, but down the road, we begin to see this, and as I started to say, God showed me that that spirit of perversion, at least in part, was because women begin to take on the role of men in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to repent this morning, every last one of us, of moving into roles that are not rightfully ours, and to move into the role that God has prepared for us to fulfill. Men and women both.
Amen.
That's all it is, really. Divine order. Now I want to share with you the vision that God gave me this week, because it goes right along with all of this. There's so much more I wanted to say. But we'll...
Amen.
I want to share the vision. I was gone into this meeting, and the people were praising the Lord, and I don't know what hit me, but I just started to cry right away. And then I saw myself lifted up, like almost above the congregation, and I was looking down, and I could see the United States. And I saw I saw the whole world. And it was almost like it was a map out in front of me. And I saw the airwaves. And I saw lines going out from one particular spot, a very tiny place in the United States, going out from this place. I saw the airwaves and the sound waves, and they were heavy. And in fact, stuff was dripping off these airwaves and these sound waves. And what I was made to know that this stuff, because that's what it looked like. It was stuff that was dripping off the airways, was perversion and uncleanness and immorality and homosexuality and every unclean thing and vile thing you could think of was dripping off the airways. And it was going out and it was touching virtually every nation in the world. Every single nation was being touched by that. And it was all emanating from Hollywood, California. From a very tiny place. That's what I saw. Then this is in several parts. The next thing I saw was one particular Christian movie actor who I'd seen on the 700 Club. And I'm not going to mention his name. And I had been blessed by the testimony that I had heard. But I saw him in that scene, and then I saw him in a made-for-television movie in a bedroom scene, where it was an adulterous situation, where he was in bed. That was the next thing I saw after this. Then the next thing I saw, and it was like I was looking down on this room of about maybe 150, 200 men that were in this room, and they were discussing strategy and plans, and it was a business meeting, and I saw that they were the movie producers who have literally affected our whole world. Then the next thing I saw was a Christian filmmaking Christian film company that I'm personally acquainted with a little bit. And I saw the people involved in the work of that Christian film company, and I saw all the uncleanness that was in that Christian film company among the people that were working there and the people that were acting in the films that I have been to. That was the next scene. And I was sitting there and I was getting judgmental towards that Christian film company and towards that actor. I had my eyes closed at this point and just thinking on it. And the Lord began speaking to me and he said not to judge them any more harshly than I would judge myself, because I and all of us had drunk, and this is the way it came to me, folks, had drunk the cup of their fornication, and that we had to repent as well as they had to repent. I watched that made-for-TV movie that Christian actor acted in. How could I say that I'm any better than him, or he's any worse than me, if I sat there and watched that thing? You know, when I was first saved, I used to hear preaching about Christians don't go to shows. You ever heard anything like that? And then with the advent of television, we just got a little more acclimated to it, taking on the ways of the pagans, and we've just let their ways get absorbed our ways. We don't have any authority over sin because we've sat there and we've let sin get into our minds by the hour. And we get all taken up with the storyline of different things we're watching, and you're doing something else and you're thinking about the plot of some soap opera we've been watching, or you've been watching occupying our mind with things that have absolutely zero benefit in the kingdom of God and all kinds of benefit for the kingdom of Satan.
Amen.
And God showed me that judgment was coming to our country, and it was going to start right out there in the West, and it was going to move across our nation. I saw judgment come right down on Hollywood, California. Now listen, folks, I don't think about things like this. I know this is God speaking to me.
Yes,
going to move clear across our country, and he showed me that virtually every household would be affected by the judgment that was starting there and sweeping across our country. Every household would be affected except those households that had the blood of Jesus on the doorpost. Totally. And he told me that we have tried to sanctify something that is unholy. And that we had to come out and be separate.
Hallelujah.
And touch not the unclean thing any longer.
Glory to God.
And we can't sit at home at night and watch TV without being affected by it. And we can't pray for more Christian films that's not going to do it.
That's right.
I've met people that have gotten saved through seeing a Christian movie, or so they said. But I'll tell you what, We let the power of God begin to move through us and move in the authority that Jesus had prepared for us to walk in. We'll see far more results than any Christian television program or any Christian movie. God's calling on us this morning to repent, to separate ourselves. We're not going to sanctify something that is unholy. He will sanctify you this morning as you confess your unholiness to the Lord. And I want us all to stand. I want us all to lift our hands. I want us to repent this morning. Every single one of us are guilty of drinking that cup of uncleanness. Every single one of us. And I don't want us to pray some prayer that we have written down. I want you to begin to call out to God in your own words. And I want you to repent this morning and say, Jesus, I'm taking on your ways from this moment on. Every one of us right now, lift your hands to the Lord and let's begin to pray. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture teaches us that there's many standards of judgment, because it says the same judgment we've judged others with is the same judgment we'll be judged with. There's only one standard of holiness, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. One standard of holiness, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou Almighty Christ, come forth in me. My will, my way, I yield to thee this morning. We release the spirit of holiness into the airwaves. We release the spirit of holiness into the airwaves, to the nations, to the people of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yea, I would say unto thee, my people this day, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, yea, that does not walk into holiness. But yea, I am preparing the people that will do my will. Yea, I am preparing the people that will hear my voice and walk in my ways. Yea, I say unto thee this day, my children, my people, look unto me, look unto the God of holiness, not unto the effects of thee, what you say and what you do. And yea, I say unto thee, walk in holiness before me, for I am the holiness of thee. Yea, I say my righteousness is filthy rags. Yea, but my righteousness will bring me to some place and need the same, Lord thy God. Yea, that thou would walk and humble thyself before me. Yea, I am preparing the people for a prepared God, for a prepared kingdom coming upon this earth. Yea, I say unto thee, walk in the holiness, my children, and yea, I will bring thee out. Yea, I will bring thee out into the highways of holiness. I will bring thee into the streams of golden waters. Yea, I will lift thee up, and I will draw thee out into high mountains. Yea, I will lift thee up high seed. Yea, plant them on the mountains of my God. Yea, I say unto thee, walk in the holiness day, and walk unto me as obedient people, thus saith the Lord thy God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bring it forth, Lord. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. For your word. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Almighty Christ, come forth in me. My will, my way, I yield to thee. Thou daring sing a travailing song of praise.
I see that the Lord is moving in these meetings in the way that He's been working in some of our hearts. And it's up to each one of us to determine that we will serve God.
Yes.
I can't do it for you and you can't do it for me. You have to determine that you will serve God.
Yes.
Come hell and high water,
hallelujah,
I'll serve God. The barn burns down, the chicken house catches on fire, I'm still going to praise God. Be hard. The devil tries to make it that way. If we determine we're going to be victorious, then Jesus is on our side. And the victory will be ours. But I must and you must determine that we're going to serve God with everything that's within us. And we're not going to be wish-washy about the things. And when God shows us errors of our ways, that we'll change our ways and not complain about it. And we'll be happy to do it. Because when we're willing to serve God, then the glory and blessing of the Lord will be ours. Abraham's blessings will be ours. They are ours. But they're only ours as we serve God and make Him first in our life. Then Abraham's blessings are mine. They're not mine because I speak them into being. They're mine because I serve God and live by His Word. And then I don't have to speak them into being. They belong to me. They're part of me. They're my Abraham's blessings are mine. Because Jesus is Lord. I make Him Lord. You make Him Lord. As we make Him Lord, and as we look into His Word, and it becomes a mirror to us and a light to us, and then we walk in that way and follow after, then in holiness and righteousness, says there will be a highway of holiness. And the people who walk on that highway will be holy, and you'll not be that way unless you determine that you're going to do it. God's not going to make you do it. I have to make myself do it. You have to do likewise. Praise the Lord. Well, Irma tells me that she knows that she should have a women's meeting at about 1:30 or before. Those of you know where it's at. It's upstairs over our heads. And you can go on up there or wait until Irma goes up. You can wait here till Irma goes up. And if we have a ladies' meeting, well, then Brother Moody will have a men's meeting up here in the front for all the men. So as soon as we're through eating, as soon as I get a chance, why about 1:20, 1:25, somewhere around there, why there'll be a ladies meeting upstairs and a men's meeting here, and then back for the afternoon teaching and deliverance service at 2:30, and this afternoon, Blanche will be teaching this afternoon, and tomorrow, Brother Moody, Jean, and Earlene will be teaching tomorrow afternoon. So, Father, we thank You for the food that we have received this morning. Help it, Lord, to be health to our flesh. I thank You for it. Father, I thank You for the food to sustain our natural bodies. Bless it to our bodies. Make it health and strength to us. Father, I thank You for Your presence. I thank You for Your blessings. I thank You for wisdom and guidance and direction for every situation of life. Father, help us to learn to rely and count and depend upon You as we walk before You in holiness and righteousness, declaring that Jesus is Lord. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.